Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, if you open up your bulletin to the first page, it should say right at the top there, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. And it's that last word, Epiphany, that I really want us to focus in on this morning. You know, as I was preparing for this sermon, I took some time and I looked up what the definition of epiphany was. And it turns out there's at least two different definitions. There's a really churchy one, and then there's kind of an everyday sort of one. And the first definition says this, Epiphany, January 6th. Observed as a church festival in commemoration of the coming of the Magi is the first manifestation of the Christ to the Gentiles. That's not what we're going to be talking about today, but that's what the bulletin's talking about. The other definition simply says a revealing scene or moment. And it's this second, everyday kind of definition that I want us to really focus in on, this revealing scene or moment. You know, and I would think most of us here can think of one or two times in your life where you've experienced an epiphany, a revealing scene or moment, a moment in time when you realized how things really were. You know, just a moment of clarity. I mean, I have one that's seared into my own memory. It happened about 2.5 years ago. Back in Missouri, actually at my parents' place, and they live right on the edge of Tornado Alley, and so it's not uncommon for big storms to come sweeping through. And today, there was a big one coming. And so it's me, it's my wife, Svenja, and it's my mother, and we're all sitting out on the deck, and we're watching this storm, this supercell, roll over the horizon. And we're getting excited because there's an electricity in the air. Things are calm and quiet, but we know it's about ready to change. There's just the tiniest of breezes, and the rain starts coming down a little bit, and we're starting to get big smiles on our face because it's getting close, and you can hear the leaves get blowing around, and the rain really starts coming down, and we run inside giggling so we don't get wet. And then the wind, it really starts blowing. And now it's pouring in sheets of rain. And then the 60-foot sycamore tree that was next to us comes crashing down onto the deck where we were not 20 seconds before, splintering it into a million pieces, smashing the chairs we were just sitting on. And it was in that moment that all three of us had an epiphany. We realized this was not going to be a fun storm. This was going to be a very, very dangerous storm, and we needed to get into the basement ASAP. It was what I would call a revealing scene or moment. And we were lucky because we got to safety, but we were also lucky because we got the whole thing on camera. And so as you guys can imagine, we were showing it to everyone we possibly could. And it was maybe the third, fourth time I was watching the video, I was struck by another epiphany. We could have died. Smashed like those chairs. Crushed by a 1,000 pounds of tree. And I had a very different reaction to the second epiphany than I did to that first one. That first one made me scurry down in the basement to run and hide. The second epiphany filled me with gratitude. I mean, a few seconds later, and it could have all been over. But instead, God had worked it out where I can be up here talking to you guys, sharing my story and gratitude with you. Because you see, that's the thing about epiphanies, is they always get a reaction. Just think of our gospel reading for today. It's a story about people having epiphanies, a revealing scene or moment about Jesus. A moment in time when suddenly they realize this isn't just some guy on the street. There's something different about him. There's something special. You got John the Baptist. He's out there doing his John the Baptist thing, baptizing people by the waters of the Jordan River. And then he sees little cousin Jesus coming up. And they chat for a little bit, they talk it out, and Jesus says he wants to be baptized. And John says, okay. And so they baptize Jesus, and suddenly the heavens are ripped open, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove and rests on Jesus. And John stands there wide-eyed and open-mouthed, because suddenly he has an epiphany. This man before him isn't just Mary and Joseph's, you know, Aunt Mary and Uncle Joseph's kid. This is the Lamb of God. And John, he's a preacher, so he reacts like a preacher would. He shouts it out for anyone and everyone who will listen. He says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, John's statement, his reaction to his epiphany, it causes another one. This time for his two disciples. You see, these two guys, they've been doing what disciples should be doing. They've been following around their teacher, John. They've been listening to what he's been saying. They've been paying attention to what he's been teaching. And so when they hear their teacher, John, say, behold the Lamb of God, they have an epiphany. They hear him say it. They look back. They look at each other. They look back to John. And the gears, it's working in their heads. And suddenly, they have a realization. This Jesus guy isn't someone who's just one of the hundreds of people coming to be baptized. He's the guy. He's the one they've been waiting for. And these guys, they react like disciples do. They start falling around Jesus. They listen to what he has to say. They pay attention to what he's been teaching. And then, of course, there's Andrew the brother. And he goes out there, spends the day with Jesus, realizes that he's the real deal, and then reacts to his epiphany the way a brother should. He runs off to Simon, his brother, pulls him up and says, we have found the Messiah, and brings him to Jesus. And now everyone's life is changed. And if you think back at those revealing scenes or moments, those times that you have an epiphany that changes the way you live your life, like the first time you moved out of the house, you know, no more rules, no more mom and dad telling you what to do, no more curfew. And then the realization sets in, that means no more mom and dad to help out. And when you have the epiphany that you are an adult and you're responsible for your actions, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to stay out till 3 a.m. Or for those of us who are married, when you first looked at that other person and you realized, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. That's a scary thought. It's a good thought, but it's a scary thought. And it changes the way you live. I mean, I used to be a bachelor. I used to be able to shove all my laundry into my drawers. I've got to fold them up and hang them now. It changes the way you live. But when it comes to this God stuff or morality or being a better person, these changes in our lives aren't always quite so easy to see. And when you sit there and honestly ask yourself the question, how has Jesus changed my life? It might not seem like a lot. I mean, especially when compared to the people we were just reading about, John the Baptist, Simon Peter, Andrew, the disciples. I mean, those are the big names in the Bible. The people who met Jesus and were turned around, who changed their lives dramatically. You know, when I ask myself that question, how has Jesus changed my life? It doesn't take long for me to realize that I'm no Mother Teresa. I'm not a Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not a Nelson Mandela. I'm Joe Schmo. And when I look at how it has impacted my life, my epiphany, my realization that Jesus is the Lamb of God, I don't see big, huge, earth-changing things. I see small, everyday, Vicar Dollar-sized things. And that's okay, because an epiphany doesn't turn you into a completely different person. It just gives you a new way to be you. Think about it. You've got John the Baptist, and he was a preacher before he realized Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he was a preacher after he realized Jesus was the Lamb of God. But what he was preaching changed. He went from saying, "He is coming," to, "Look, behold, there he is." You've got the disciples. They were disciples before they had their epiphany, and they were disciples after they had their epiphany. But whose disciples they were changed. They went from following around John to following Jesus. And then, of course, there's Simon. And of course, there was Andrew, and he was Simon Peter's brother before and after. But afterwards, he was bringing his brother to someone else. He was bringing his brother to Jesus. You see, there are lots of different ways to react to an epiphany. But once you have one, it's impossible not to be changed. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, that's an epiphany that's been changing people for 2,000 years. And there's 1,000 more ways to react to it. You know, and I don't know if you feel like you're more in alignment with those disciples, you know, doing your best just to follow Jesus as best you can, or maybe you resonate more with Andrew, and you want to run out there and find the people you know and bring them to Jesus. You know, maybe you're more like a John the Baptist type, and you want to stand up here in front of everybody like I am and tell whoever will listen about this Lamb of God who takes away this world. There could be 100 different things that I couldn't even think of. And that's all right, because the important thing is that there is a reaction. You see, epiphanies, they move you. They change the way you live. You're still you, but there's something different now. I mean, just think of me running down to the basement after that tree had fallen. If you had been there with me, I would have stood up there and watched that tree come crashing down 3 feet away from me and then not reacted at all. You would think I'm crazy. Or at least that I'm not grasping the significance of the issue. Luckily, I did, and I got to safety. But Andrew and John and the disciples, they realized their epiphany meant something, and it moved them. And I pray that this morning, no matter who we are or where we are, this epiphany that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that we would be moved by that. Because in this place that you find yourself, surrounded by all these Joe Schmoes, there's really some amazing movements going on. Our ministry partners out in the community, Philomath Community Service and the Corvallis Shelters, they are doing amazing work, and they need movers. You know, we've got amazing things going on here. We've got the Frozen Meal Ministry. We've got the Ladies Guild. We've got the Men's Club. We've got the Dementia Warriors. All amazing movements caused by a fundamental epiphany. And maybe you're sitting there thinking to yourself, "That's not me." That's all right. Because there's people sitting around you, in this room with you, that need you. They need a friend, a listening ear, or just someone to be with. You see, there's 1 million different things to do. And that's okay. Because this isn't a question about right or wrong ways to react. It's not even a question about better and worse things. It's about living a changed life, who you are and where you are, because you see things differently. Because you see Jesus. Dear friends, please pray with me about that. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you sent your Son into this world as a mover to change the way we view ourselves, the world, and each other. Lord, please help us to follow in the paths that your Son has led. Lord, help us to show the love that you have shown us, to be movers in our community and in our families, with our friends and in our lives. Lord, we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.